Morning, everybody. So nice to be here. I'm sorry to have missed last week. Reb Moshe and Sheila are not with us this week, but they're with us in spirit. I say this every time that I love how we co-create this space and how nourishing it is and what a blessing it is to be with all of you. Thank you so much for being here and sharing your presence in this like sacred space, this sacred virtual space. So tomorrow we read Parshat Kiddushin. Kiddushin means the holy ones. So here we are as we enter the realm of holiness, the mystery of the holy. And if you look up the word holiness, the definition is, in the dictionary, a quality or state of being holy. In the verse 19:1 of the Parsha, 19:1 and 2, we have the well-known words of Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the whole of the Israelite community and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, your God, Hashem, am holy." You shall be holy. What a concept that we should be holy. God wants the Israelites to be just like God, holy. But this is not the first time that God has spoken to the Israelites about holiness. In Exodus, Parsha Yitro, 19:6, God says, "You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." And if we go even further back to Parsha Bereshit in Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26, 27, God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, after our likeness." And God created humankind in the divine image, creating it in the image of God, creating them male and female. So if one assumes holiness was part of God in Bereshit, then the concept of being holy begins with creation. Rabbi Shefa Gold says, here we are blessed with a vision of holiness." She's talking about the Parsha. "A vision of what holiness might look like here in our world, in our everyday lives, and at the center of our awareness." Gold goes on to say that by listening and paying attention to the holiness at the core of each moment, to the holiness of existence itself, I sanctify myself for a life of being holy. In the pursuit of holiness, we are challenged to retain a constant, simple awareness of the ground of our being, the holiness of God existence, while at the same time responding in righteousness to the demands of the moment. When I think about holiness myself, I think of the core part of me that's connected to the divine. And I think about moments in my life that appear to be holy to me: giving birth to my son, getting married, my son's bar mitzvah, Shabbat, the Jewish holidays, talks and laughter with my parents, sharing special moments with friends or community, a child's smile, prayer, moments in meditation, a walk in the forest or through a field of flowers, being on top of a mountain and looking out at the expansive sky, listening to the songs of birds, seeing the colors of the seasons, smelling the fresh-cut grass or lilies, hugging a tree, bicycling near the seashore, gazing at the stars, seeing the full moon. All of these moments have an element of holiness, of being present, of awe, of gratitude. These are just moments of mindfulness, of being present in the here and now. Thich Nhat Hanh says that a Buddha or a Bodhisattva is someone who is made up of the energy of mindfulness. The energy of mindfulness helps us to be alive, fully present, helping us to understand, to accept, to forgive, and to love. He goes on to say that the term Holy Spirit from Christianity is also what we call the energy of mindfulness, which helps us be compassionate. This parsha contains a roadmap of how to be holy. It contains 51 mitzvot, 13 positive, what we should do, and 38 negative, what not to do. It asks us to live by a code of behavior that fosters being holy, not just experiencing moments of holiness, but being in a state of holiness. When we follow these mitzvot, we are in the state of holiness, and we bring holiness into our world by our actions. Aviva Zornberg, the Scottish Torah authority, calls this week's Torah portion, and especially Leviticus verse chapter 19, verse 16, love your neighbor as yourself. She calls it like a burst of sunshine following a long winter, like a pool of sunlight in a tangled forest. The demand of holiness moves us from a world of specific taboos, anomalies, abominations, to a binding moment of aspiration. Kiddusha can be understood as the aspiration towards such vitality. Or as Zornberg points out, Kiddusha is the very reason that human beings were created in the first place. To be holy is a state of being. This request or demand by God to the Israelites is addressed to the entire community, including all men, women, children, young adults, all the way up to the elders, all people, regardless of whether they were a priest or a leader. Everyone is to be holy. Throughout the Torah, we're given rules and statutes that tell us what to do, and here we are told what to be. The Parsha is the guidebook to achieving holiness. How to be holy. Observe these commandments and you will be holy. It's a roadmap for entering and living in a state of holiness. Some of the mitzvot, such as revere your mother and father, keep Shabbat, do not turn to idols, take care of the poor, do not steal, lie, or profane God's name, do not defraud people, do not abuse those with disabilities, do not treat strangers badly, pay workers immediately after their work is completed, and not eating the fruit of the tree until it is 4 years old, and we should not eat blood. The most famous rule, of course, is love your neighbor as yourself. These are just a sampling of the commandments included in the Parsha. And toward the end of the Parsha, in chapter 20, verse 8, there's a line that says, you shall faithfully observe my laws. I, Hashem, make you holy. So by observing these mitzvot, we become holy. And as one reads the mitzvot, we see that many of them deal with relationships and compassion within those relationships. Just a footnote here. Today is the 17th day of the Omer, 3 weeks and 3 days. Tiferet Sheba Tiferet. And Tiferet can be translated as beauty, balance, and compassion. So we could say that Tiferet Sheba Tiferet is compassion within compassion. And we all need compassion for ourselves and others. In a drash that I read by Rabbi Elise Goldstein, she states, in much of the Torah, it is God who makes things holy and God who sanctifies. We read in Genesis 2:3, and God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. But in Kiddushim, the command to make things holy is put upon us, upon humankind. The task of sanctifying our lives is given back to us as an act of partnership between us and God. The holiness we seek is in community. And she goes on to say that that is why Kiddushim Tehiyu, ye shall be holy, is one of the most difficult commandments in the Torah. It asks us to celebrate the divine spark within each and every separate individual, accepting that their separateness is part of their spirituality, and yet to consciously and purposely and always frame that unique individuality within the enveloping shelter of the greater community. We cannot truly be as holy as the divine, but it is in the effort towards holiness that righteousness, ethics, and morality live. In Buddhism, right action, which includes doing no harm to others, is part of the Eightfold Path. So I'd like to take a moment and put this out as I close. When I am connected to that divine core of holiness within me, that core that's in everybody, within myself, then you could finish the sentence. What happens when I am connected to that divine core of holiness within myself, then I can, and you finish the thoughts. So let's take a moment.